I was thinking about the communion as we were preparing and just considering how communion is Christ as bread. And of course, I hope it's not the bread we use around here. I'm ready to jump for some new bread. I'll pay for it. Yeah. Well, I have actually tasted styrofoam that tasted better than that. I've had good styrofoam before. And I want to tell you, if that's a physical manifestation of a spiritual truth, we are a stale group of people. So I look to my wife even now and say, let us do something before next week. But there was actually something good I wanted to say about it, though. Not physically, but just the fact that it is bread, and that when it comes to growth, the scriptures talk about Jesus and partaking of him, that it's like milk and meat. But that puts different people at different levels, doesn't it? I mean, some are drinking milk, and some are... But when it comes to communion, he's equal to everybody. He's bread. We all eat the same bread. And we don't make divisions at that time of depths or lack thereof. It's just Jesus. It's just the Jesus that we love. It's just the Jesus that we're knowing wherever we're at. Wherever God's dealing with us, that's his business with us. Our business is to commune in Christ and not to make separations and the such like. All right, if you would turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 7. We're not going to be in Job other than this little bit of introduction for those of you who want to go screaming out of here. Job chapter 7. I want to talk a little bit about night and day spiritually. You know, the scriptures a lot of times will talk about in the night the Lord did this or whatever. Or, for example, the resurrection, at the dawning of the day, they went to the tomb and found that he was risen. And there is a spiritual application to this, and there is this reality that God set, just in the natural, God set it where there were going to be times of day and times of night, times of darkness and times of light, and that we would experience those and that we would deal with those. And the thought came to me, and maybe it will register something for you, that the ears are for night and the eyes are for day. And to find out what that means, because what if we're looking for day when it's night? And the truth is, we usually are looking for day when it's night. We want the light. But there are things that the Lord is doing when it's dark. And I heard a saying not too long ago. It says, life is not about surviving the storms. It's about learning to dance in the rain. I think there could be something to that. You know? Anybody ever dance in the rain? Of course you were young. But there is a reality that we're many times when, especially when you get older, you just want to get through the storm. But maybe there's something to that storm that the Lord wants us to have. And so here, this is Job speaking, and beginning in verse 4, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? Okay, it's the night's come. The darkness is coming. When I lie down, the first thing I say is, when shall I arise? We hadn't gone very long into the dark here, you understand? When shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. This sounds like a person who has entered night spiritually. It's a tough time. It's a dark time. Things are not clear. I was thinking, even when it comes to how we dress, we put on more during the day. We make sure we look good, and that's because eyes are for the day and ears are for the night. We're all trying to, adjust everything and whatever. And, bedhead, even though I may have it this morning, is more common at night. This season of darkness is very difficult because you cannot see. We talked much in this place about seeing versus hearing. But there is something to be developed of the Lord in our lives in relationship to hearing, that if we put too much emphasis on seeing, we may miss some of the things that pertain to hearing. And so here we go again, where I must apologize for putting too much emphasis on seeing. And there are reasons for that, but we need the full counsel of God. Amen? And so there is this wrestling. And look over just a little further over in Psalms 30. We'll just give a few more scriptures in relationship to night. Psalm 30. You notice no one ever calls this place unless it's yeah. Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so here we have another good reason not to be in darkness, not to go through the night, the spiritual night of hard times and of lack of clarity, because you may be doing some weeping in the dark times because you don't know what's going on. Man, that bugs us. We want to know what's going on, don't we? We want to have it all clear. That word why comes out of our mouth to God. Why this? Why that? And you're not going to get the clarity until the sun comes up. And then just one more going along this line that we're going right now, and that's over in the New Testament in John. These are the words of Jesus in John chapter 9. John 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And it's interesting because the night is usually a time when you don't work. And a lot of times we're ministry-centered. We're not hearing-centered because hearing is more prominent in the dark. Seeing during the light. And so we're more ministry-centered. And we're... But the darkness, as it were, makes us stop. You could even say the lack of light makes us stop. Makes us. You know, because some people are workaholics. They just constantly work. And some people are glad for the invention of floodlights and stuff where you can still work outside and whatever. But God is the one who ordered day and night, and God is the one. I mean, do you consider it sort of a weird deal that God made us where we sleep a huge portion of our lives? I mean, you know, why is that required? We could have gotten so much more done. You know, I mean, because our little minds are all about accomplishing something for God instead of letting God accomplish something in us. Something that, frankly, we may not understand. I was telling Deb when we were down visiting Buddy, had this, or I told Buddy too, said, I wanted to say this to our congregation, to our group here. Understand this. There's a lot we're not going to understand. That's hard for us. There's a lot we're not going to understand. You can still be with the Lord, by the way. Did you know that? Without understanding everything. You can still be with the Lord. You can be with the Lord where you're at. That's the other thing, is in the light we see other people, and that's when we start comparing ourselves. God knows you, and He knows right where you're at. There's no need to try to compare to someone else. Let God work in you what He's working in you, and trust Him. I know, that's the hard part. But He is our Father. He is our Father. Jesus is our Lord more than that, our groom more than that, our life. And so, you know, and there is this reality that in the New Jerusalem, there is no night. Did you know it says that in Revelation? In the New Jerusalem, there is no night. And many times we hear from people around here who really don't go through too much night. They're in the light a whole lot, you know, people writing things and passing out newsletters. And, you know, you hear from a lot of people who are constantly in the New Jerusalem. But in the earth, there's going to be night and day. In the earth, there's going to be night and day. And if you're going to reach just regular people, you're going to have to address the night. You have to address the night. You can't just talk about the day all the time because they don't have day all the time. Now, that's another apology. And again, I do that because of the way the Lord has led me personally. But as a pastor and a shepherd, I have to be in tune with you. And apparently I'm not always that. But I want to be. I want to be. So that we may enter in to all that God has for us. Not just me or the. That we may. You heard me say many times, this flock is no faster than its slowest sheep. Well, that sounds real spiritual until you realize how slow some of our sheep are. You know. This flock is comatose. There is this cycle of times of light and times of darkness, and God has a purpose for that night. Turn with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll read some in chapter 2 also, but and remember what I said, eyes are for the daytime and ears are for the night. Because this third chapter particularly, although it's not just confined there, it's all around in this book, really gives you a contrast of seeing or hearing. For example, let's go ahead and look in chapter 2. We'll just look for a moment so you can see this. Verse 27 in chapter 2, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. And if you just stick with that right there, that's a hearing situation. That is a hearing situation. And we'll read it in a second, but Eli was going blind. He couldn't see anymore. And sometimes when you can't see, you need to have developed how to hear. And sometimes when you go through a period of time in your life when you can't see, you need to learn to be able to go by what you hear. And this is one of the purposes for God raising up prophets and men of God. Thinking of John the Baptist, he described himself, "Who are you?" they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm the voice of one." There is a necessity to be able to hear. And Greg actually alluded to that when he was talking, and some of the songs did also. But Greg said, do we hear what the songs are saying? No, do we hear what the Lord is saying to us in the songs? And I fear that many times we have service and we hear a sermon. We don't hear from the Lord. And we hear songs. We don't hear what the Lord is saying. And one of the things when I write songs personally is that I really try to follow what the Scripture says, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual, not just singing for entertainment value. That song that just came out on the Christ is Life Worship CD that I wrote called For Your Enemies, I played it for Buddy and Julie down in Comfort, Texas. Nice place to live. Living in comfort. The whole world is going through a blizzard of ice, and we woke up down there. We had frost on our windshield. Can you believe it? It was a terrible trial. But we played that song for them, and they just sort of sat in stunned silence. I played it for Mike Gentry the first time, and he just was like, you don't hear songs like that. We need to be admonished. We need to be more than entertained. And our sermons need to be more than sermons, but we need to hear from the Lord. And so, here now, let's look in chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel, now you remember the story. Samuel was the son of Hannah, who couldn't have a child. She asked the Lord for one because she was barren, and he didn't just give her a son. She said, "I will. If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you." That's why we do baby dedications, by the way. Because God gives you. See, I knew that light was going to come on. because I was talking about there are dark times, and these people over here. But the light just came on. Yeah, just put in the earplugs and just go. It's like me, I love putting in those Kermit movies and turning the sound down, trying to read their lips. Many hours of, okay. Sorry. Okay. Verse 1 of the Bible. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision or open vision. So you're already getting a picture here that there was no vision going on. It was rare to see anything. Next verse, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place and his eyes began to grow dim, that he could not see. So again, we have another situation of not being able to see, even though there had been seeing at one time, not being able to see something from the Lord. Anybody ever been there before where it's like, I want to see something from the Lord? Anybody ever read the Bible and it's like, you know, licking the desert or something? You know, and you just want, you want a little water from this desert, you know. You want to see something from the Lord. But maybe it's time to hear something. Maybe it's not about seeing during this time. Maybe there, and there, and many times when the Lord speaks, when it's the Lord speaking, it's not usually real fancy. It's usually more of a nugget. It's something you better hold on to. It's something you... Can we get that phone moved right here? And I'll answer. They keep hanging up. Oh, that's what's going on. Somebody doesn't like us and they know that I'm preaching. That's cute. Well, let us just fortify ourselves and say we will not be distracted. We will get what the Lord wants to say. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so... then verse 3, and before the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down to sleep, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lie down. So here's Samuel. He says he's ministering before the Lord. He hears the voice of God and he runs to Eli and says, you wanted something? And he said, no, I wasn't talking to you. I've preached before and have people say, now what were you saying to me? You know, or like I'm picking them out, you know. Like that's, you know, my plan is to preach a sermon to just one person. I'm sure this won't get back to him, but that's how Pam Gentry, Mike Gentry's wife, got saved. We were having meetings in their home, and she was unsaved, and I started sharing. And after the first time I shared, I left because they were living in Richardson or something and drove back up here. And she said to Mike, how dare you tell him everything about me and then have him bring all that up in our meeting? And Mike said, I've never told him anything about you. And then she got saved because she said, then it's the Lord. You know, you think Eli's speaking, but it's not. Eli was the priest. You think that you think the priest is speaking, but it's the Lord. And so, verse 6, and the Lord called yet again, thank God. Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel, notice verse 7, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Isn't that an interesting thing? He was a minister. He was counted as one of the priests. Do you get it? It says he ministered unto the Lord. It's possible to minister unto the Lord and not have the word of the Lord revealed unto you and to see yet. He's barely getting under his belt hearing. But when it's dark, that's when you need to hear. That's when you need to shut down the eyes and open the ears. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And so here he begins to develop the ability to hear. And what he hears is the situation of darkness, the situation of why things have been dark, darkness of others. And I really don't want to get into explanations. It's like Eli. Eli didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll hear and then I'll explain it to you. I don't want to explain to you what to hear. I want to encourage you to move from trying to come to a revelation at that moment to just hearing in darkness. Just to hear what it is God wants to say to you, and let it by osmosis soak into your being. And a lot of times the hearing is not as clear as the seeing. It takes some churning, some turning it over and over, like a cow chewing his cud, just chewing on it and saying, okay, you know, because a lot of times there is not a clear explanation like crystal clarity of seeing. It is something you heard, and hearing is going to get into your being in a different way than seeing is. It's going to sustain you in darkness, whereas sometimes we want light to get out of darkness. And the light that we have had sometimes does not sustain us in darkness. And so we need just a little something to sustain us through this time period. It doesn't have to be the full explanation of everything. It just has to be what the Lord is saying to us. And, you know, I mean, let's face it. There's an old saying that says, a picture is worth a thousand words. You know, well, when it comes to hearing, it's just like I said, a nugget of truth. It's maybe just a few words. And we do not normally perceive hearing as clearly as we do seeing. Why? Because we're in darkness, because things are not clear at that moment, because God has allowed that. The bad thing is, a lot of times when we're in darkness, it's kind of like you're supposed to get low. It's meant to bring you low. It's meant to bring you, because let's say that you have many, many days of seeing and you see so much that you know too much. You understand what I'm saying? You know too much. You're, and meaning that Not that you know too much of Jesus or that you, but that the, however much you are knowing, it is making you something in your mind. Not that the Lord's doing that, but you're becoming something. You're becoming deep. You're becoming an instructor. You're becoming an instructor of the blind. You know. By the way, the blind can hear. Something of us begins to be developed, and we begin to think we're something special. And we can do that as a body or individuals or whatever. Darkness will bring you down, and it's meant to humble you. It's meant to bring you to a place of hearing. I mean, it, you know, like I said, when it comes to dress, I mean, you know, nighttime, well, I started to say at nighttime, you wear way less. Now, my wife doesn't. She's got socks and robes and everything else, but to me, all that is just suffocating, and it's like, you know, get out of here. But that's, you know, that's the thing of darkness, is it begins to break you down. It begins to pull you down so that you don't see something and it puffs you up. You hear something and it begins to work on the inside of you. The wonderful thing about being reduced down, I mean, being stripped down, I mean, stripped down and limited and cut back and, you know, I guess stripped down is a good way of putting it. Because 1,000 people cannot undress a naked person. You know, I mean, no matter, you know, you're there, dude. You know? And so all their attempt, all the seeing people cannot undress you because you're there. But that's when the Lord can speak to you. That's when God can speak to you. And that's when He can do things that honestly are not explainable. He can change things in you that as long as he used you as a great minister, or as long as He showed you all this great deep revelation, you still carried yourself as something. But when He's reduced you down to that and you've been stripped down, then there are things at work in you that you will never be able to explain and to put into words. Never, because He didn't explain something. He just spoke to you in the darkness and sustained you. There are people who have become more men of God or women of God through the dark times than through the great times. God can do more in a crisis than He can do in the wonderful up times. It's just a fact. You know, it's just a fact. We hate it. You know, I'm not saying everything's wonderful. I'm not saying I like it personally or I want to go there. But I'm telling you that things, for example, I remember years, many, many years ago, I think I was a missionary at that time, and I remember the Lord dealing with me about humility. And it was like for a whole month He dealt with me on humility. So much so that after a month of dealing with me on humility, I was able to act humble for a period of time. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's like feeding a baby bird until he, you know, okay. I got it. But do you have it? Because a lot of that was seeing. Do you have it? You see the truth. You can explain it. You can go to the Greek. You can do this. You can do that. But I remember slipping back. Now, here's the funny part. I actually don't remember slipping back. I remember several years later coming back around through the desert, the wilderness, and coming, and the Lord started talking to me about humility like 2-3 years later. And I went, oh my God, look how far I've come from what He was You know, I mean, I was shocked that, first of all, I didn't even remember that I had left it. You know. Yeah, slip, slide in away. You know. And that was so me. And I just like, man, I thought I had this down. And I want to tell you that hearing is necessary just like seeing is. Because in the darkness, he will do things, and the hearing may not be explanations of everything to you. It may be just a few things of words, but more importantly, it is that you've got it. You've got it, but you can't explain it. Whereas seeing, you may be able to explain a whole lot. You know? And so he's working in you. It's like, you know, he's the potter and we're the clay. And we're going, no, I want to look better than that. You know, we are earthen vessels. You know, we're not treasure chests. He's the treasure, we're the chest, but it's not the treasure. You know, we want the treasure chest. We want to have all these gold and rubies and stuff, you know, and say, I am carrying Jesus. You know, you remember what one of the, you know, Indiana Jones things where they're trying to figure out which cup was the cup of the Lord. Remember the chalice from which, you know, God help us all. But anyway, you know, and choose the one that the master would drink from. And one guy grabbed, surely this is the one. It's golden crested and it's got all this beauty and it's got all this stuff. This would be the one that the Son of God, the master of the universe, would drink from. Yeah, and you know what happened after that was ugly. But that's a clear example of what we're trying to make ourselves. We have this treasure in earth, and that's, we're trying to be the glorious treasure chest that people are impressed with. Instead of being a broken down vessel that somebody goes, my God, what a mess, but I think I see Jesus in there. I think I actually see Jesus instead of religion, instead of a system, instead of, you know, playing at it. I think there's life in there. And that's a rare thing. Did you know that? It's a rare thing to just be able to encounter life. But, you know, I wrote a song a long time ago, diamonds look best on a dark background. The treasure looks best in an earthen vessel. You really appreciate it for what it is. If we glowed as bright as him, then we'd go, well, pretty cool too. Which we do say. You know, well, I don't need to go to the cross. I'm not that bad. I've been told that many times, not once or twice. Why do you preach this cross? I don't need to go to the cross. I'm not that bad. Oh, no, I've heard that many times. I'm not that bad. Well, you know, okay. You know, and I would say, well, okay, you know, let me just pray for you then. And I'm going to ask the Lord to send you on a journey here to see that all have sinned and come short. And that we're all a mess. We all need Jesus, not just for salvation from hell, but every day, in every way, to trust in his life and to trust in the treasure. Anyway, the rest of the Indiana Jones thing was some, you know, I guess it was Indiana Jones, of course, said, no, this would be the one. And it was just a dirt, you know, ugly looking goblet that, you know, this would be the one. Oh, it was wood, wasn't it? And he said, this is the one a carpenter would drink from. Well, I'm sure that if your boy there, Harrison Ford, doesn't get the Lord, he's going to go to hell too. Okay? Because it's not the carpenter that we're trying to figure out here. It's how, what a mess we are, and yet God chooses that. And God wants us to be just as aware of how earthen we are as he wants us aware of how glorious Jesus is. Because it's a good balance. It's a good balance. It keeps us humble. people. It keeps us in a position of not, you know, I mean, you know this. I mean, you know, when the charismatic movement was going, everybody's going, praise God, God's moving in our church. God's moving in the midst of the church. God's moving all over the world. And was anybody around during the height of that? Anybody here was around the height of the charismatic movement and they said, you know, revival is going to sweep the whole world and everything's going to be changed. Well, it's worse. Things are worse. You know, revival needs to sweep us. And I, you know what I mean, more than that, resurrection life. But I remember people many times standing up in churches and saying, thus saith the Lord, da 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 da. And they would sit down, and later on I would talk to them and they go, you know, how about that? The Lord used me. I mean, it wasn't those exact words, but it was, I'm cool. And if the Lord used them, you know, every Sunday or every other Sunday, then they became a prophet. And you know, my thought was there's no profit to it. That was the Lord. If it was the Lord, it was the Lord. If you got healed, that was the Lord. There's no healers in here. It was the Lord. God did that. And you go, that's the Lord. You know, we are no prophets. We are no healers. We are no anything. We are blessed to be the vessel of the very life of Christ. So let us quit trying to develop ourselves and let the cracks show forth the glory of the Lord. You know, there are seminars on how to fix the cracks. Why? Because nobody wants to look bad. But what about looking bad so that Christ may look good? So that he may, and it's just simply this, so that he may be seen. Instead of what our commitment for God, our ministry for God, our everything is for God instead of by God. You know, everything's in the name of Jesus, but very little is through the life of Jesus. So, This whole thing of the night, it's like the church has gone through a period of night. Not just us, the whole church system has gone through a period of night. And that's good. That's not bad. It's good if it get the proper result. If it achieve what it, the end that God wants it to achieve. So God may come to you in the night or speak. God may do it through one of the songs. If you're in night, if you're in the dark times, then that's where you say, here am I, Lord, speak. But here, you know, thy servant heareth. You don't just sit in darkness like, you know, like a sitting on a stump in a dark forest going, creaky sounds, you hear all this stuff, but you don't hear it. I'm just waiting for day. Just waiting for the big dawn to hit. The big sun in the sky to just light my world. Light my fire, baby. Come on. Hit me with your best shot, Jesus. Come on. Hit me. Give me the light. I'm ready. Do, 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 do. You know, a lot of time can pass doing that. A lot of time can pass. How about, Lord, you're not going to hit me with light right now. Here's your servant. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me through the worship. Or speak to me through, see, we always say, speak to me through the sermon. My God. Not a sermon. It's messenger. Wouldn't it be more like that? You know, like message from the Lord. I don't know, dude. You're wearing brown. What can brown do for you? It's the messenger thing. Do I have to spell it out? Evidently, yeah. Did you get the one about 1,000 people? Never mind. That's why I only speak around here every so often. All right, well, I'm gonna try to wrap this up. I'm doing real good. We should be done by 1. Just this final thought, and that it's that thing of why, Lord? Why this? Why, you know? I want to just say something. Jesus is Lord. Okay, what does that mean? Jesus is in control. Now, I know a whole lot of churches go, Jesus is Lord! And everybody goes, yeah! And then, you know, when they go home and the kid left the bathtub going, there's water everywhere, it's going, the devil did this! You know, I mean, and I know the devil does stuff, but I want you to know that God is in control. God really is in control. He really is sovereign. You don't hear that a lot around here, but folks, God is sovereign. He's in control. He knows what He's doing. He created both light and darkness. He created both trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. He, you know, you go, well, God's not very smart. He should have just created a perfect garden, no tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then just put a snake-proof fence around. You know, if I was God, that's the way I'd have done it, man. Because you know, I'm smarter than God. But God, I don't know how I let that. I don't know how I let that snake slip in there. That was just a big mistake, you know. You know, He is sovereign. He knows what He's doing. He allows certain things. He's still at work in you when you can't feel it. And I got news for you. He still loves you when you don't feel His love. The truth is, He's with you every bit as much as when you were in the daytime. It just feels warmer in the day. You know, it does get colder at night. You know that. You know, it's just, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy because I'm seeing something. That means He loves me. Just forget that right now. You know, because in the darkness He's loving on you too. He is, and He's got plans for you, and He cares. But there are things that He had to take the light away for a while, so He could accomplish some other kinds of things. And He's just, you know, He does things that we don't know about, and that just needs to be, you know, kept clear. This whole story here let me just read one more verse here. 1 Samuel 3:21. This is at the end of God speaking to him. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. He had to hear from the Lord before the new season would come around of hearing again. Right? And when you're in that dark night, when you're going through that time period, you need to realize He's still ordering everything, and your tenor needs to be, I want You, Lord. I don't have to have it all clear. My heart hadn't changed. I really do still want You. Here's why I'm saying that. Because sometimes the night and the darkness will take it out of you. It'll make you feel like you don't want the Lord anymore. You're just tired. I know that feeling. You're tired, you're worn out, or you're beat up, or you're, you know, it just, you know. I mean, harassing phone calls is nothing. I would take that all day long. compared to some of the stuff. But deep down in the core is, I want you, Lord. I do still want you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I haven't changed. And then there is this final thing. And I don't have to have everything clear to me anymore. Can you say that? Can you do that? Can you love the Lord without Him always giving you the light? Can you, because the scripture, the first one we read in Job, I think it was, or the one in Psalms, he said, this is what I feel like. And he said, as soon as I lay down, I start saying, Lord, when is the light going to come? How about just lay there in the darkness for a while and say, I still love you. I still want you. And when you want to bring light, that's your business. But right now, I don't have to have it all clear because you're sovereign. You are my Father. You are in my life. And you're going to bring this thing to exactly where you want it to. And folks, now, let me just make sure you understand this. Those are not passive statements. That's not passivity. That's active. You're something in you. You know, you're not just laying there going, kick me again, devil. You know, just come on with it. I like this. Right in the head. That was a good one. You know, kind of like that Three Amigos. That was a good trick. That was a good trick, too. Sorry. But it is very active in the Spirit because you're saying, I'm with you. I trust you in this dark. I don't understand it all. I don't know where it's going. But I know that when I end up, I'm ending up with you because I'm not separate from you now, even though I don't know what the deal is. And then you begin to learn of the sovereignty of God, that God really is God. Jesus really is Lord. That when we say almighty, we meant the all, not just mighty. You know, we mentioned that the last time. You know, He's not just the big mighty. He's almighty. Because if He wasn't, why doesn't He do more, folks? Why isn't miracles flying? And why isn't everything forming great? I mean, this earth, like Greg said, this earth looks terrible. Not just the financial end. It just looks terrible. This nation has seen a lot of sunlight. God may want to try to get something else out of it by bringing it into darkness and seeing what's really, what are we made of? What are we made of? We are a giving nation. Will we still give when we don't have very much? Will we still love when people don't love us? You know? These are the kind of things that are important to Him. And you can't find them out. This is my second closing and hopefully my last one. But the Lamb of God, Jesus was a Lamb before the foundation of the world. Amen? That wasn't something He became. The Bible says He was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in the book of Revelation, the only name, the primary name used for Him is Lamb over 22 times throughout that. He's the Lamb of God. That's an eternal aspect of His nature. Okay? But how are you going to really see what a lamb is all about unless there's a cross? Think about it. The lamb was seen brightest, and it has this incredible fullness at the cross more than any other time in His walk. That's when you really got to see who He is and not just what He does for people. Praise God. Well, let's stand together.